Welcome to It's a Grand Life. Did you know that in the United States alone, 2.4 million kids are being raised by their grandparents or other family members other than mom or dad? 2.4 million. It's a Grand Life is a podcast for those grandparents and kinship caregivers who are committed to making a difference for those kids. Grand families are in every neighborhood, every city, tribe, and territory nationwide. If this is you or someone you love, this podcast is for you. Our goal is to offer hope and resources to help you. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow us wherever you get your audio podcasts and leave a review. Every new subscriber and review helps us reach others that need assistance. Welcome to another episode of It's a Grand Life. Hello, my name is Craig Nash, and we'd like to welcome you again to another It's a Grand Life. And we, our guest today was with us last week, Jaya Lent from Generations United. We had a phenomenal discussion on her 23-plus years at Generations United and the impact that she has had and this wonderful team that she and her associates have put together at GU and the role of the Grand Voices. And I can't tell you what a blessing it's been to be part of this organization and the impact that they're making across the country. But Jaya, thanks so much for joining us again on It's a Grand Life.
Great to be here again.
So we were left off last time talking about I just want to hit on this again. You talked about one of the things that the paradigms that you had shift initially at GU was learning to have a model where you actually listen first to the caregivers and even shifting towards lifting toward young voice, listening to the young voices, the actual kids themselves that are a part of these the kinship caregiver grand family model. And how important is listening to the impact of Generations United?
It can't be overstated. When you listen to the voices of people that are affected, you learn, you do better advocacy. We find we do better advocacy and we are even more inspired, right? I mean, this is the stuff that keeps us going every day. And we recognize that the experiences of caregivers are the experiences of caregivers and the experiences of the young people who raised them are the experiences of young people who raised them. And so they may be coming from the same family and just have a different eye and are going to elevate another really critical way that they could be better helped and supported. And so we need to be thoughtful about listening.
But that little idea of listening first changed the way you folks approached supporting kinship caregivers and grand families. It was a major move, right?
It was. And when I say listening first, you know, we for many years would have caregivers review our materials, for example. But what we found is, I remember very well, one fact sheet we did related to accessing temporary assistance for needy families. We wrote it, we gave it to our caregivers, and they came back and said, "This is not language that resonates with us." And we basically had to rewrite it because we were writing it in this kind of wonky, jargony way that was not helpful. And we thought, this is not the order of which we should do things. We need to get input first and then draft and then get feedback. And, you know, it needs to be throughout the process a continuous feedback loop. Instead of we draft it and then we hope you like it, which is often what people do, maybe not intentionally, but that can happen. And so that was a real transitional moment for us.
Well, especially if you're working on a policy or a legal brief, you put a lot of time in on these things and you think you really have this gem in front of you. And then folks in the real world saying, well, maybe we could say that a little differently, but let's talk a little bit about the mission and vision of Generations United and how has that changed over what is the mission and vision and how has that changed over the past 23 years that you've been there?
Yeah, so we were created really at a time when there was a lot of talk about pitting generations against each other. So there were aging advocates and children's advocates. And the sort of sense was on Capitol Hill that they're going to fight it out and the last group standing gets the resources. And Generations United was founded to say, you know what, we really believe in a caring society. We know that we live in families, and investments in one generation helps another generation. And so the broader work of Generations United is really on promoting connections across generations. And one of the areas that really rose to the top with that mission of promoting and improving the lives of children, youth, and older people is this issue of grandparents and other relatives raising children. So we really came at this first from the grandparents, the older relative, and the child, and how we can be, you know, helping the family that has that kind of makeup. In terms of our work with grand families, which is a term that we use interchangeably with kinship care, and we're really right. talking about grandparents or other relatives raising children, we really, I think, have expanded to recognize that we came into this work from the grandparents and the older relatives and the child, but these families are across, you know, their makeup varies. We have younger grandparents, we have aunts, we have uncles, we have all these different types of kinship caregivers, and they all need support. Some of it is similar across the ages, and some of it is really unique. And so we're trying to be very thoughtful about recognizing the nuances of how to advocate for and support the different groups within grand families kinship care.
With that in mind, how involved is GU on Capitol Hill? I mean, you're in Washington, right? So you probably know where all the important committee members live and how often they meet and all those things. Do you go up to the Hill regularly and try and influence the folks that can move the needle for grand families?
Yes, public policy advocacy is central to what we do. I really think of our work in three main buckets. We do our program and practice work is more around resource creation. So we say we're not operating programs ourselves. We're not making the wheels. We're helping to make the wheels better, if that makes sense. So yes. We do that work, technical assistance, program resource creation. And we really do that with intensity through a major federal cooperative agreement that created the Grand Families and Kinship Support Network. And so that's all about technical assistance, resource creation to really help improve that on the ground. Then we also do communications and awareness raising. That comes through our annual State of the Grand Families report. We kind of pull data together and try to make it consumable and do some public education, reach out to the media. So we really try to raise the profile and appreciation for the important role that grand families play. So that's our communications bucket. And then the other bucket would be our public policy advocacy. We create a policy agenda every 2 years for each Congress. And then we have a policy committee that really advises and guides us in that work. And then we work to move that agenda forward. And we also, related to that, have been playing a key role in convening the different groups that do kinship advocacy work. And we recently created something called a Kinship Unity Action Agenda, which is an agenda that took into consideration so many different groups and voices of advocacy groups, of caregivers, of young people, of allies with grand families to say, what are our priorities? And so we are coordinating the work of different groups around the country to do advocacy. Some of that is policy. But yes, so we go to Congress and we meet with their staff, with their members of Congress, and we also support caregivers to go to the Hill and tell their stories. So we provide some of that advocacy training so they're comfortable, so they know where to go. Their question, what do I wear? You know, how do I get there? Right. We do that kind of support and help to really elevate the voices of grand families, in addition to speaking ourselves with members of Congress and their staff.
So, as you know much better than I do, that this situation of grandparents or relatives raising grandkids addresses every demographic, every tribe, every neighborhood, every city, every state in our country, and it's so it should be an issue for all of us because it affects absolutely all of us. I've only been in this for a year. I'm amazed at how the kinship, the grand families and the kinship caregivers touch us all. And doesn't matter where you went to college or if you work on the line in Detroit. I mean, we're all in this. But is this the situation when you advocate for grant families and kinship caregivers? Does the advocacy or the success tend to be with one party as opposed to another party, or is this something that crosses both over all things?
This is a bipartisan issue.
Yay.
I think often Congress right now, what people think about it is there's division, there's a lack of agreement, nothing's getting done. Those are kind of the assumptions or the general narrative. But when it comes to kinship care, it is one of the areas where you see members of Congress work across the line. You see unity around interest and supporting of kinship care. There are always questions about how to best do it. There are things related, if you're a fiscal conservative, maybe approaches that invest more dollars are going to be less appealing. If you're one who is looking at ways, more progressive, maybe there's more of a dollar approach. But there's, there is agreement that we want to be doing something to help these families. And so I feel really fortunate to just have had the honor to work with offices on both sides of the aisle that are really genuinely caring about these families and looking to find solutions.
So, Jaya, every 4 years, do you have to start over? I mean, with a new administration in the White House, or do you still have relationships with folks in Congress and judges around the country or whoever you need to move these issues forward? So every 4 years, you're not starting over, but maybe you're meeting some folks in the administration and what have you. How does that work?
Well, certainly members of Congress, we have, members that we've been working with for 20 plus years who have been long-time champions for kinship care. And it's so important to have those stalwarts who are supportive and advocates. And then we're also routinely educating new members or other members of Congress that we don't have relationships with to develop new champions. So there's some of that. Yes, when there is a new administration that comes in, there is some work to do, some education to build relationships and talk about what can be done through the administration to make improvements to help grant families. So certainly there's a lot of education that needs to be happening at the beginning of a new administration. And then there's transitions in leadership during administrations too. So it's a constant work of doing education and building those connections that are going to ultimately be the people that make that change that helps families.
So I could see where this could be really exciting. You have a new relationship with someone in a key role. And on the other hand, that person you've been working with for 10 years just retires and, we've got to start over again. He or she was so terrific in supporting what we're doing. And do you ever see a day coming where the support will be equal for foster families and kinship caregiving families? That there seems to be, and I'm really new at this, but there seems to be quite a gap, a gulf, if you will, or a gap between what a foster family can get and a kinship care family can get. And, the folks on the kinship side are saving state and federal government millions and millions of dollars. And that seems to be something I see all the time, that there's such a need for support for the kinship folks.
I mean, we're making baby steps in this area. I would say, having done this work for 23 years, I've seen progress. Is it moving as quickly as families need it? No. But we are seeing progress. I mean, just most recently, there is a new final rule that came out from this administration that allows separate licensing standards for kinship families versus foster families. And the reason that's important is that when kinship families get licensed, they are going to have access to that foster care payment that a traditional unrelated foster parent would get, And so for many families, that's critical. So that new rule should help with more access to that foster care maintenance payment for families. We're in the process of trying to implement it and make it a reality, but it is allowed at the state level to do that. So that was a pretty monumental change. And would I have known that was going to happen 20 years ago? It's really exciting to see that change. changed, but it still takes time. I mean, once a rule changes, once a policy becomes law, it doesn't mean that instantly it makes a difference in the lives of families. A few things do, but you then have to work on implementation and make sure it's happening. And that's when it's important to hear from grand families. Is this affecting you? Is it really working? How is it not working? And we really value that input.
When I was looking on your website, it talked a lot about you. You work in intergenerational strategies. Mm-hmm. And how can you give us an example of an intergenerational strategy and how that might affect my grand family?
Yeah, so when we are thinking about what types of policies we as an organization want to support or advocate for, we think through how is this going to affect each generation, right? So if you take the Social Security program, people often think of that as a retirement program only, when in reality, Social Security, there's the retirement benefit, there's also the survivor's benefit and the disability benefit. Who does a survivor's benefit most? I mean, there's some spouses, but children, right? That survivor's benefit is insurance for most children across the United States are not even thinking about it, but you get that benefit, right? So Social Security is a program that is really helping across the generations. So when we think about advocacy, we think about what is this doing to every generation? Maybe this is designed for an aging population, but it's actually helping kids because Social Security checks help the kids and the grand family, right? Because it's paying the rent or the mortgage, you know, it's helping. So it's helping the household members. So that's when we think about intergenerational implications and families and things like that.
That's just awesome. And I know we've got listeners that, like me, that didn't know that. And so if you are raising a grandchild, you could apply for Social Security for the grandchild?
Yes. So Social Security has so many aspects of it that people may not know. So if the child's parent died and had been working for some period of time before that, the child likely is eligible for a survivor's benefit.
Okay.
Based on the work record of their parent. But even if you have you don't have that situation, say the parent is still living and they wouldn't qualify for survivor's benefit. If you as a caregiver are receiving a retirement income, but you are full-time raising that grandchild or adopted that grandchild, they could qualify for a child benefit based on their retirement benefit. It gets a little complex. Adopted children certainly would qualify. Other situations, call Social Security. It gets a bit complicated. Look at our resources. but often there are benefits that families may not be aware of.
That is some great news. But I also know that you folks, you also advocate for hunger and nutrition program for grand family. And that is so important. And are you seeing changes in public policy regarding hunger programs and nutrition support for grand families as part of your advocacy? Is that where that comes out?
We certainly participate in broader advocacy around hunger and nutrition programs. So we saw during the pandemic, there was increased access to some critical food and nutrition programs. And we've been advocating for some of the lessons learned and the benefits from that expansion to continue. But we also see that there's challenges with grand families accessing things like SNAP because of various eligibility requirements. And we see this across a lot of programs. Because a grand family saved for retirement, this means they don't qualify for a benefit on behalf of their child unless they've spent down their retirement. So we are always looking for solutions that can really recognize and support grand families understanding their unique situations.
Our guest today, if you've just tuned in, is Jaya Lent. She's the deputy executive director from Generations United. And we're finding out about all the mission, the vision, and all the advocacy that Generations United is involved in. And so I want to ask you, Jaya, what gives you optimism regarding the state of the grand family in America?
The families always give me optimism. So when I hear a family who has persevered and is now changing, raising their voice or changing the way things happen locally because they don't want another family to have to go through what they went through, I have seen those successes. I am inspired daily by the stories of families, members who are advocates. I'm also excited because we've seen policy change over the last couple of decades. It doesn't always happen as quickly as families need it or want it. But, you know, over the time that I've been here, we've seen multiple child welfare policy changes, aging services supports. There is change that is happening. And this is an issue that, despite the divisiveness, we see Congress coming together and saying, but what can we do for kinship families? What can we do? How can we reach and connect across the aisle to make supports and services and lives better for them?
This is so great because, you know, we live with a media that tends to be biased one way or the other oftentimes, but the Generations United story could be carried by all media outlets because it just blesses families. And it is a bipartisan program. It's so great. And it's so great to be a part of that. So, thinking down the road, what would the ultimate success look like for Generations United? Is there ever going to be a day where you say, you know, our work is done here. We've got this absolutely covered. We're good to go. I'm going fishing or whatever you, or golfing or whatever you do. What would success look, ultimate success look like for GU?
Yeah. The day is when a family has to step in, a caregiver has to step in to care for their grandchildren or their niece or their nephew, that the community has supports available to help them that they need to help provide for the basic needs of the child, address any trauma that that child may have experienced as a result of whatever brought them into the care of that relative. That they don't have to hit rock bottom and have to connect with a child welfare agency to get the support they need. But instead, it's there in their family. It's there in their community. Mm-hmm. There's no stigma attached to reaching out to it. And in fact, they don't even have to think that hard to reach out to it because it's just naturally part of our community support system.
Right. That is absolutely great. So, Jaya Lent, we just want to thank you so much for being our guest here on It's a Grand Life. I hope you'll come back and share with us future successes or challenges or new efforts that you folks are advocating for grand families and kinship caregivers. We just appreciate the work that you all do so much, and you're just a pleasure to work with. And thank you for all your time today. Is there any one last thing you want to share with our group at home and to encourage them regarding this journey?
We see you. We want to listen. We recognize that every story is unique. So I just keep sharing, keep voicing your reality. We want to elevate it and change will happen.
That's absolutely great. Keep listening. I know that's your number one message. Keep listening first and foremost. So thanks so much for being our guest again, Jaya. Look forward to seeing you very soon.
Thank you for joining us today for It's a Grand Life. It's a Grand Life provides vital content, regulatory updates, and subject matter experts that are committed to supporting the 2.4 million kids and their caregivers from every neighborhood, every city, every tribe and territory nationwide. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a review. Every new subscriber and review helps us reach others that need assistance. As caregivers, we are united in purpose. We are driven by hope while providing strength for today and hope for tomorrow. We are truly making a difference in while living the grand life. If you have a suggestion for a future episode, please reach out to us. But we'll see you next time for another It's a Grand Life. Thank you for joining us.